Squirrel will say something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure. He will. He will.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say welcome back to the Piney Woods. I have been gone for a week and a half. I am your Squirrel, the host. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. It's good to be back. It really is. I have been missing being with you every morning, even while my life has been very busy and I've been traveling. I miss this time together every day. But it's good to be back. This is, we webcast here, 7:30 a.m. Mountain, on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch every Monday through Friday. And the podcast is then available wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. New podcasts dropping all the time. New podcasts being added to the network all the time. You're sure to find something worth listening to. As I said, everything's going to be doctrinally sound, thoughtful, entertaining, edifying, and several other adjectives besides. So what do we got going on today? We got prayers from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And then I'm going to review ShepCon 2023, which I just returned from. So looking forward to that. We'll get the preliminaries out of the way, and then we will start talking about ShepCon. Our regularly scheduled events will resume tomorrow with Theology Thursday, and then today's Wednesday, right? Yeah, today's Wednesday. So Theology Thursday tomorrow and Federalist Friday on Friday, and then next week a full slate of normal events on the podcast. So today is going to be kind of a Monday meandering on a Wednesday. So that's what we're expecting to have happen today. So good to have you with us. Let us begin with our prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. After a sip of coffee, let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. My coffee this morning is Squirrely Joe's House Blend, and it's going down very well this morning, even though Squirrely Joe's coffee doesn't sponsor the show yet. We have no coffee sponsors, which is why I'm free to switch back and forth from Squirrely Joe's to Montana Coffee Traders to Herb's House to the normal San Francisco Bay Coffee Company 5-pound bags I buy from Costco. So we have a variety of coffees on the show that we appreciate. But if you know a coffee company wanted to sponsor us, I could be exclusive. I really could. Just letting you know. All right, our daily reading from The Life of Christ today from John MacArthur's devotional. The title today is Believers' Temptations Similar to Jesus's. The tempter came and said to him, then the devil, again the devil, Matthew 4:3a, 5a, and 8a. Dr. MacArthur writes, our temptations are similar, in kind to what Jesus faced. First, Satan tries to get us to distrust God's providential care and solve our own difficulties by our own strength and cleverness. Second, the devil will tempt us to presume on the Lord's protection by having us willingly place ourselves in danger's pathway where we can meet all kinds of physical and spiritual harm. Third, he appeals to our selfish ambitions in hopes we might grasp after God's promises in our own strength. The Apostle John mentions these same temptations. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. 1 John 2:16. Those three major sources of temptation are all around us. So how do we resist? Consider the man who trained his dog by placing a piece of meat in the center of the floor. Whenever the dog tried to take the meat, its owner swatted it and said no. Before long, the dog learned to associate the swat with no and simply left the meat alone when it heard the word. Finally, whenever the meat was placed on the floor, the dog would not even look at the meat, but instead at its master, waiting for his word of approval or denial. In a way, this illustrates how we must deal with temptation. Keep our eyes on the master rather than the temptation and wait for his command. Ask yourself, one of the greatest things about heaven will be the freedom of living without the burden of temptation or the inclination to obey it. Till then, what can you do to keep your eyes on the master, resisting Satan's attempts at deception and destruction? Pray for sharper, surer spiritual insight. Amen. All right. ShepCon Review. I got back Monday night. So yesterday I had to return the rental car and do all that sort of stuff. And so I slept in yesterday because I was pretty tired. It's about a 17, 18-hour drive from here to Los Angeles along the route I take. And it's a route I am used to. That was the thing I was talking about. I've gone down there 10 times in the last 12 years. So I am a regular. And I've made a lot of friends down there that work at Grace Church and that are members at Grace Church and that volunteer during the Shepherd's Conference. And so just a huge shout out to all of the volunteers. There's like 1,000 church members that volunteer for Shepherd's Conference, who run the food tables and just take care of us. You have no idea how pampered a pastor is at a Shepherd's Conference. I've never seen anything like it, where there's just every time after every session, you walk outside and there's fresh snacks on the craft tables. There's always coffee. There's always cold water, hot water for tea. You can just, there's everything from fresh fruit to donuts in the morning, meatballs. Friday we had biscuits and gravy. They just really take good care of us. And it's a phenomenal feeling. And having gone to church at Grace on the Sundays after Shepherd's Conference, as well as several other times when I've been down there for things, you walk onto the campus and nobody's handing you a cup of coffee. And it's just, it's jarring as you come back to the real world after 3 days of Shepherd's Conference and just being pampered. So thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Francine. Thank you, Jeff and Diane. Thank you, all of the great volunteers, Raymond, Mary Bella. There's a huge number of people who take good care of us. And among those people who take good care of us, I have made lifelong friends. And so I greatly appreciate them. I greatly appreciate all they do. You know, they're taking like their vacation time to hand you a meatball. You know, it's just amazing. And so a big appreciation to Grace Community Church and those great volunteers. What a fabulous group of people. Now, in that 18-hour drive down, I listened to quite a bit of stuff. First, I listened to Words from the Fire by Al Mohler. I had the audio book of that. And that's his book on the Ten Commandments. It's probably about 10, 12 years old. I'm not sure when it came out. But as we're looking at the Ten Commandments in our study Bible level Bible study of Deuteronomy, I listened to that on the drive down just to review and refresh some of the things that he had said about the Ten Commandments. So that was on the trip down. I also caught up on Steve Lawson's The Bible Study. I was behind a couple episodes there. And then, of course, music and stuff like that. And I was listening to all sorts of stuff. I've got several Hymns of Grace CDs or CDs. They're on my iPhone. I'm trying to think. I actually do have one of them on a CD, but I'm not sure where it is. But iPhone stuff. So I listen to music from past Shepherd's Conferences. I listen to some Sovereign Grace music. I listen to some Gettys. I listen to one of the albums I picked up not too long ago was from the Courageous Churchmen Conference in Jupiter, Florida. Just listening to the hymns singing there. So that was, you know, so I had some hymns. I'd sing along and drive and just had a good time. And so I got down there Monday night. I left here right after church on Sunday. Mrs. Squirrel and I went and had lunch. I brought her home, and then I took off in my rental car for Points South. And everybody says, why do you rent a car and drive? A couple of reasons. First, it's actually cheaper. I can rent a car this time of year with unlimited mileage for 10 days for less money than flying down, renting a car down there for 4 or 5 days, and flying back. I also enjoy the road trip. It's always a good time on the road. Like you say, you can stop wherever you want. You have more room. You don't have to deal with the TSA. You can listen to whatever you want to listen to. You can sing off key, all that beautiful stuff that Delta just won't let you do. So that's the nice thing. It's a comfort thing. And as a former truck driver, I guess I'm still a current truck driver. I'm licensed, but I still drive school bus. But as a former truck driver, long hours on the road don't upset me. So I roll, you know, and being only, you know, 18 hours or so, excuse me, to get down there, I actually didn't even exceed the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration regulations for professional drivers, which, of course, in a private car, you can. You're not under those regulations. But I think about this. Gosh, I never exceeded 11 hours of driving. I have in the past. The first year I went down, I drove almost all the way through, catching just a cat nap at a rest area. And that was back in 2011. Oh, how time flies. Yeah, my first Shepherd's Conference, 2011, 12 years ago. Yeah, time flies. Made a lot of good friends since then. I can't imagine not going to Shepherd's Conference just because of the friendships and everything, the friends that I have down in that area. So, Tuesday, I got up. I was staying with Fred Butler, who works at Grace to You. Fred actually has the largest office at Grace to You because Fred is in charge of the volunteers. So his office is the volunteer room where all the envelopes are stuffed and where boxes are loaded and where everything is mailed out. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, that room is full of volunteers from Grace Community Church who do all of the mailings and everything. So Tuesday morning, I got up, took a shower, put on my Squirrel Lives Matter t-shirt and went to Grace to You to stuff envelopes. I put on the Squirrel Lives Matter t-shirt specifically for Daryl Harrison, who works at Grace to You, because he got a kick out of it, and he did. Like the first public recognition that I was wearing a Squirrel Lives Matter t-shirt was when Daryl Harrison tweeted out the photo of me in his office. So that was how the day began, and I spent it stuffing envelopes and getting mailings ready to go out. And I don't know how many mailings are in a crate, but I did two of them. I wasn't the most industrious person there because I kept getting called away to go see somebody that works Grace to You that I know. And eventually, right after lunch, I got upstairs to Phil Johnson's office, got to visit with him, and he was waiting for Josh Bice and Virgil Walker and Scott Annual from G3 for a meeting, and they showed up, and so I got to visit with them for a little bit, and just had a great day hanging out on Tuesday at Shepherd's Conference. Just a fun time. And let's see, then Wednesday, Shepherd's Conference opened. Now, on Tuesday, Phil Johnson had told me that John had fallen after church on Sunday and broken his wrist. This was not the best news. John just had 5 stents put in back in January. And he's obviously was recovering and feeling better and feeling feisty enough that he decided to go outside and do something around the house and tripped on the stairs and broke his wrist and hit his forehead. So the question was, would he even be at ShepCon at all? And of course, nothing had been announced yet. We didn't know what the plan was going to be or how they were going to announce it. And it's all very funny because there's been a whole group of people on social media who were absolutely convinced that John was on his deathbed and there was no way he was showing up at Shepherd's Conference. They, expected him to kick the bucket at any day. And it was just all this stuff there. It's sad how many people hate John MacArthur. Now, I think we know from the words of Jesus that it's not John MacArthur they hate. It's the word of the Lord and the Lord whose word he has faithfully proclaimed for over 50 years. And it saddens me because every time around ShepsCon, there's drummed up controversies that people try to bring up to cause problems for John and Grace Church and everything. So, there's that vitriol that comes out. Well, a lot of it after his, only preaching one service on the first of January and then ending up in the hospital to have stents put in, that whole thing was, blown out of proportion. And, not that it wasn't serious. The man's 83, he's going to be 84 in June. And, heart issues are serious at any age. So I'm not, downplaying that. But he was not on his deathbed. He was recovering. He had a procedure and he was recovering. And hundreds of people have that done every day, if not more, if not thousands, and recover just fine. And John was doing good when he decided to fall. So, not that he made a conscious choice, but as he said on Thursday, when he was there, John came for a Q&A on Thursday and he preached the closing message on Friday. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But when he showed up on Thursday for the Q&A, he said, in the providence of God, God wanted Steve Lawson to open the conference. And indeed, Steve Lawson did the first session. This year's theme is Shepherding the Remnant. That was the theme of this year's conference because there is a theme that runs all the way through the scriptures, that God works in remnants. Christianity, God-fearing, going back, you know, before the time of Christ, God-fearing has always been not just the minority, but a small minority of the people on the planet. You look at the, you know, we've been going through Deuteronomy and we were talking about that first generation that came out of the Exodus, the vast majority of whom, according to the writer of the Hebrews, died in unbelief. So even among, you know, Israel was a minority among all the nations, but the true believers in Yahweh were a minority among the Israelites. And that was constant. That was constant throughout the entire history of Israel. That you had a small remnant that trusted in the Lord. And that is a phenomenal thing to think about. And it's something that we need to keep in mind. I was just this morning looking at a discussion of Roman Catholicism, and the Roman Catholic brought up the objection saying, so you're saying for like, you know, 1500 years that God allowed the true church to be lost and we needed Martin Luther and the Reformation to reassert the true church, and, you know, how can you abandon the hundreds and hundreds of years of the Roman Catholic Church? And I got to thinking, it's like, well, because God works in remnants. And the vast majority of the Roman Catholic Church through history was lost. Were there true believers in there? Yes, I think there are true believers in the Roman Catholic Church today, but they are few and far between. And they are untaught and they are ignorant, and that's the only reason they stay in the Roman Catholic Church after they get saved, and many get saved and leave the Roman Catholic Church. I would say in Protestant churches, the true believers are a small minority. That has always been God's way. And, you know, Jesus said that, you know, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. And so that was, you know, very, 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 very seriously something that I think too many people overlook. The fact that few find it. Yeah. The vast majority of people never find it. Because it is a remnant that's been saved. Now, by the time you get to Revelation, you're going to have a multitude which cannot be counted standing before the throne of God from every tribe and language and tongue and people. The remnant at that point will be very big, but it's a remnant of all humanity. And so shepherding the remnant was the theme. Let me read you the welcoming note in the front of this year's conference book. John MacArthur writes, "Dear fellow shepherd, when the Apostle Peter called his fellow elders to shepherd the flock, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, he did so against the backdrop of impending persecution. The threat of rising hostility did not lessen the urgency of their spiritual responsibility, it heightened it. The danger underscored the need for pastoral diligence and care. As modern society grows increasingly dark, the faithful remnant of God's people must boldly stand in allegiance to Christ. That courage begins with pastors and elders who lead their flocks with clarity and conviction. For that reason, the theme of our conference this year is shepherding the remnant. Scripture places repeated emphasis on the faithful remnant of God's people, those who persevere despite opposition and oppression. During times of elevated persecution, it is incumbent upon the pastors and elders to shepherd the remnant with wisdom, fidelity, integrity, and grace. We do this looking forward to the day when the chief shepherd appears, knowing that every faithful minister will receive the unfading crown of glory. Our prayer is that this conference will encourage and equip you to that end, that each message, seminar, and providential conversation will strengthen your heart and mind in the truth you love and have been called to proclaim. Love and the Truth, John MacArthur. So that was the theme of the conference. And that was, of course, the theme of all of the sessions. And as I said, Steve Lawson opened the conference with the message that had been planned for the last day. But it was an excellent message. And as MacArthur said, God in his providence wanted that message preached first. And so it was. Now, my understanding is that all the sessions should be posted at the shepherdsconference.org website and on the Grace Media app sometime this week, and all the breakout sessions by the end of next week. So you can look forward to that. I'm looking forward. I actually missed one main session because I didn't go to the last main session on Tuesday because I was really, really tired. And so Fred Butler and I skipped the final session, went and had dinner, and went home early to get some rest, which I needed for Friday. I really did. Let's see, who was the last Thursday night? Thursday night's general session was H.B. Charles. So I'm sorry, H.B., I'm going to have to catch yours. On the flip side, I did not. So when it's posted, I will look at that. And then, of course, there were a bunch of seminar sessions. Each day, there was a seminar section. And those were listed in here on page 14 and 15. Let me flip over to there and see what the sessions were. Now, on day one, I went to Steve Lawson's The Marian Martyrs, because I am a church history geek, as most of you know. So that's where I was for that first day. The other sessions on Wednesday were H.B. Charles on the pastoral prayer, Joe Zakovich for the seed as the remnant in the chapel, Steve Lawson, faithful unto death, the heroic boldness of the martyrs under Bloody Mary. There was a panel discussion on believers, unbelievers, and make believers. That was the youth ministry Q&A. That was in the tower basement. I look forward, as someone who works with youth, I look forward to listening to that one. There was a Spanish one with a Spanish title, which I will not attempt to read. Carl Hargrove. He did a pastor's personal holiness. That one will be worth listening to as well. Nate Busnitz did War of the Worldviews, How the World Turns Wisdom Upside Down. Mike Riccardi did Pursuing Unity on Triunity, Aiming for Clarity in the Trinity Debates. That is also, I heard very good things about that, so I'm looking forward to listening to that. And then there's a Russian session whose title is in Russian, and it's in the Cyrillic alphabet, and there's no way I'm even going to attempt to read that. That was Monday. That was Wednesdays. Thursdays, you had Austin Duncan, Are You Called to Preach? Brad Clausen, The War Within, How to Win the Battle for Your Mind, and I heard that that one is excellent. I had friends that went to that one. I'm very much looking forward to listening to that one. Alex Montoya did on the pastoral preacher. Bob Coughlin, What Really Matters in Our Gatherings. Bill Shannon, Evangelism Through Biblical Counseling. Harry Walls, The Salt of the Earth, The Church's Witness in a Christless Culture. I heard good things about that one as well. I went to Phil Johnson, The Twin Errors of Legalism and Antinomianism. That was good. I look forward to listening to that one again. He didn't touch much on legalism, but he went, he kind of reviewed the lordship debate and how the lordship debate is rearing its head again and what kind of issues that's causing for the church. So very much, go back and reread the Gospel According to Jesus, the Gospel According to the Apostles, and review that those things, because those, every generation, it pops back up again. Mark Zakovich did Jesus's Love for His Own, Remnant Theology in the Gospel of John. That should be a good one. And then Igor Gurdov did one in Russian that I can't read. Then on Friday, we had Daryl Harrison, The Spiritual Deception of Wokeness. Heard that one was really good. I'm looking forward to that one. Jay Linnington, The Crucial Role of an Associate Pastor. That should be interesting. Abner Chow, Pass or Fail, The Truth About Truth and Education. I wanted to go to that one. I really did. Because the Christian education is, as you know, is something that is very prominent in my mind. But what I went to was Jesse Johnson, Christian Nationalism, Living Stones versus Voting Blocks. That was excellent. Put that one on your list of things to listen to. We have Brian Beidebach did Not Ready, Dating and Marriage in a Society Driven by Sensuality. And not is K-N-O-T, so tying the knot, being not ready. That one, I want to listen to that one. George Crawford, When the Remnant Goes Off the Grid, Shepherding the Underground Church. Tom Patton, Digital Dangers, Avoiding the Pitfalls Posed by Social Media. And John Street, Counseling the Remnant, Bringing Biblical Truth to Bear in a Hostile Culture. So here again, we have, you know, just great resources for the church. Like I said, those things are all supposed to be posted by the end of next week. So look forward to that. I need to get there. There's several articles in here that I need to figure out and or need to get back and read through. These conference booklets that they give us is a lot more than just the schedule. It's got articles by John MacArthur and stuff in there. And it's, you know, in addition to the vast majority of, you know, I mean, scheduling is important, knowing what's coming up. And then, of course, the big thing is talking about the free resources, the box of books. It's right here behind me. I'm not going to go through the entire list. There's good stuff. I pulled out some stuff just to talk about it. Let me see what we have here. What did I pull out in my stack? I just grabbed a short selection. There's like 15, 16 books in the box. So we had Fount of Heaven, Prayers of the Early Church. This is edited by Robert Elmer. And I've been looking through this. It's got prayers from early church fathers. Let's see. Some of them you've heard of. Basil of Caesarea, Augustine of Hippo, John Chrysostom, Clement of Alexandria, Clement of Rome. You know, there's some that we've heard from. And there's some I have no idea who they are. Ambrose of Milan. I'm sure Dr. White is, we talked about him in class. Yeah, I'm sure we did. Ephraim the Syrian, you know, so that some of these are people you know. Some of them are more obscure, but here is a book of prayers from the early church, which I always like prayer books. I like having examples of prayer that you can use to craft your own prayers, just to enrich your prayer life, reading books of prayer. Always handy. We also got Divine Providence, a classic work for modern readers by Stephen Charnock. That's one I'm looking forward to reading. God's Way of Holiness, Growing in Grace by Walking with God by Horatius Bonner. Also an excellent, you know, somebody you know and trust and are looking forward to reading to. Now, was this one in the box or did I buy it? I'm going to have to look. Let me go back to my list of books and see if this one was in the box or if it's one I bought. They all got thrown into the same box for the drive home, as you can imagine. So let me see. I'm not seeing this one in the box. So this is one that I picked up. But this is Jeffrey Johnson's City of Man, Kingdom of God. I picked up a copy of that. I think I had actually bought it before the session on Friday in the book tent, but it is one that I wanted to read. And that brings up the book tent. Oh, the book tent is glorious. I got through the book tent without spending a lot of money. And the reason I got through the book tent without spending a lot of money is I didn't have it to spend. The other thing is the... up until just a couple of years ago, you know, until I stepped down as pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, when I went down to Shepherd's Conference, I had in mind what book I was going to be preaching next. And so I would go to Shepherd's Conference and I was looking for resources. I was looking for resources either for books I had already, you know, preached through, or I was preaching through, but I wanted more resources for. Or I was looking for books on the next book, you know, commentaries and stuff for where I was planning on going. And so for many years, I came back from Shepherd's Conference with a lot of books because I was looking for stuff. Well, now that I'm not in the pulpit every week, even though I am teaching, you know, Bible studies and stuff, I'm not doing the same level of preparation that I was doing for the weekly sermons. And so I'm not searching out resources like I was. I've also amassed quite a bit of resources over the years, and so a lot of times when I'm looking for something, I've already got it. So I didn't spend a lot of money in the book tent. But the book tent was beautiful, and it's always fun to walk around, and obviously I did pick up a few things. So that was a good time. The best part is the fellowship. You can watch all these conferences. You can watch all the messages. You can download them and listen to them again and again and again. You can get the teaching from these conferences for free. You know, Shepherd's Conference doesn't charge. You can get it for free. You didn't even have to pay for the live stream. If you were watching the live stream, it's free. It's a ministry of Grace Community Church. And so, you know, they're not trying to make money off of this. They used to, this is a funny story, they used to not charge for the pastors to attend because the church wanted to minister to the pastors. Well, what happened was they would have people register and then not show up. They started charging to attend solely because the people who pay to be there show up. And that was, so they have a good idea of how many people are coming. Because if you're paying to attend the conference, and it is, you know, $300-$400 to attend the conference, if you're paying for that, you're much more likely to show up. Now, there's always people who can't make it, as you know, I have no doubt somebody who we have emergencies, we have things that come up in our lives and we can't go. But charging at conference fee is part of what gets you there. Now, here's the thing. They give you $40 in gift certificates to use in the bookstore. They give them to you. So you get $40 back when you arrive. you also get a box of books, which if you went and bought them, probably covers the rest of your entry fee. Plus, they feed you. You get lunch every day is included, and there's all the snacks throughout the day, the couple of gallons of coffee I drank. All of that's included. You know, you have to buy dinner, but they bring the food trucks to you. So you just have to walk out into the parking lot and find something to eat. So, you know, they for what it costs to attend a Shepherd's Conference, I assure you, the church is not making money. It's not. This is not a money-making endeavor. This is not something that they're doing for profit. This is purely a ministry. And they charge people to attend, because they found out that that's how you get people to show up. They didn't want people registering and then not showing up, because if they're full, they quit taking registrations and people can't come that otherwise would have been there. So, you know, they want you to have a little skin in the game. You'll show up. And so that's the thing. So you can get all that teaching for free because it's available for download. Like I said, by the end of next week, everything's going to be available online and you can download it and listen to it. Many of its video you'll be able to watch. And so, you know, those are exciting things, but that's free. You can get all the teaching. What makes Shepherd's Conference so special is the friendships and the fellowship. It's not the sitting in the worship service. I mean, it's nice to sit there and listen to these guys preach in person. I mean, you know, it's and be able to walk up to them after and ask a question. You know, that's a nice thing. But that's not the main thing. The main reason that I go to Shepherd's Conference year after year after year is the time out on the patio with a muffin in hand and a cup of coffee in the other hand, talking to fellow pastors who have become friends over the years. I mean, people that I haven't seen since Shepherd's Conference last year, that when they come walking over, you know, you don't even think about it. You just throw your arms around them because you've missed them and it's good to see them again. So I go down there because there were people from all over the country that are my friends, you know, people from Florida, people from Texas, people from North Carolina, people from New England, people from all over, you know, even people from just a couple hours away. And you know, I saw somebody down there that I just saw a couple weeks ago, and it was still great to see him. So, you know, the fellowship and the friendship, that's the reason to go. If you are a pastor and you ever have an opportunity to go to a Shepherd's Conference, you've never been to one, I would encourage you to take that opportunity. It's just a special time. It's a very special time. All right. Well, that brings us to John MacArthur's final session. John MacArthur came in, did a Q&A on Thursday with Austin Duncan, and he talked about some of the stuff that had been going on. He talked about, you know, his right hand is in a cast. He was wearing a ball cap because he's got a big goose egg on his forehead. And so he came in and did a Q&A with Austin Duncan talking about the conference and everything. It was a good Q&A. I look forward to listening to it again. But then he closed the conference on Friday night. Now, first, Conrad Mbiwi took the next to the last session, which had been Steve Lawson's session, but of course Steve Lawson did the first session for John. So Conrad Mbiwi stepped up and did the next to last session, and it was fabulous. He is one of those preachers that you can't listen to enough. Just a fabulous, fabulous preacher, with a beautiful accent from Central Africa. So it's just a marvel to listen to his voice. But man, can he preach! So he preached the next to the last session, trading places with Steve Lawson, who did the first. But then John came out for the final session. He was wearing a suit without a tie, cracking jokes, you know, that he was out of uniform because he couldn't tie his tie, and asking Steve Lawson if he could borrow a clip-on. That was pretty funny, especially if you know Steve Lawson and his attitude towards sartorial splendor. The thought of Steve Lawson in a clip-on tie is very amusing. So he came out to do the final session. Now, he said he didn't really have a sermon. He just wanted to share his heart. And then he proceeded to preach for an hour and 25 minutes. And he was standing behind the pulpit for an hour and a half, giving this message. He walked us through the last three or four chapters of Zechariah. And just solid stuff. Now, he got a lot of flack for this message because his message was focused on premillennial eschatology, because that's Zechariah's message. And to share something about John MacArthur, he is passionate about every doctrine in the Bible. And he is passionate about eschatology. And eschatology is clear to him. And I share his eschatology, and I can see exactly how he arrives at it. So he is a premillennial dispensationalist of the quote-unquote leaky dispensationalist, meaning that he's not a classic dispensationalist, but he's a biblical dispensationalist. I think he's correct in his positions. But he's long been frustrated by Reformed theology's perceived error and indifference. And he has spoken about this many times. And we see this back in his 2007 Shepherd's Conference opening message. His opening session was Sovereign Election, Israel, and Eschatology, or Why Every Calvinist Should Be a Premillennialist. And that one was a fireworks message. That one raised some ire, because in Reformed circles, premillennialism is in the minority, and a distinctly dispensational premillennialism is very much in the minority. And as someone who holds to both Reformed soteriology and premillennial dispensational eschatology, I can tell you we're a small minority. I've known that for a while. And so, but it is something that has frustrated MacArthur. And so he has spoken about it several times. The Q&A, it came up at the pre-conference, the G3 pre-conference last year, which was all TMS, Grace Community Church guys. And eschatology became a subject there. And so, you know, because it's something that he is passionate about, it's something where he sees error in the wider Reformed world, and he's trying to call them to a biblical fidelity in their eschatology. Now, they don't like it put that way because they don't like to think that they're not being faithful to the Bible. I think they're not being faithful to the Bible with their amill and postmillennial eschatologies, but they're certainly not going to admit to that. But it's something that has, as I said, frustrated MacArthur for a long time. MacArthur's always been very, very open about his eschatology. You know, he's written books on the subject. You know, Christ's prophetic plans. What's his revelation? Not the two volume commentary, but he did a single volume, popular level revelation commentary, and I can't remember the name of that one. But this is something that he's. I mean, there have been issues of the Master Seminary Journal that have been devoted to premillennial dispensational eschatology. So this is something that is very close to his heart, and it's something that he wanted to speak on. And he clearly had an agenda for that. Now, part of the whole thing was, and I first saw this Monday night, I was excited. I actually tweeted out a picture. I saw it Monday night because when I got to Fred Butler's house, he had a copy. And the reason that he had a copy is he's the, you know, Grace to You mailroom guy. And he had to weigh it for shipping because they're getting ready to mail out a bunch of them to the Grace partners. So if you are a Grace to You Grace partner, you've received that invitation and you've accepted it and you are a Grace partner, you'll be getting one in the mail. But what it is, volume one of the MacArthur Old Testament commentary. Angle it so it's not reflecting. The MacArthur Old Testament commentary. Now, John's only preached through two books of the Old Testament in their entirety. He's preached through Zechariah and he's preached through Daniel. And those are going to be the first two volumes, Zechariah and Daniel. Now, my understanding is that the series is going to be hardback. This is a, how did they put it? This is a pre-release paperback that they printed for the Shepherd's Conference. Let me see what they called it here. Limited Commemorative Paperback Edition. But it's copyright 2023 and printed by the Master's Press. So this is the first edition of the MacArthur Old Testament commentary. And so John MacArthur, along with Abner Chow and Nate Busnitz and Mark Zakayevich, or Joe Zakayevich, they're brothers. They look alike. I actually called Mark Joe on Friday night, which was embarrassing. I'll get over it. but it was, they're doing this series. They're going to go through, there's going to be the entire Old Testament. And this is the current project that John MacArthur is working on, is getting the Old Testament commentary set done. And it's being done, like I said, in concert with Abner Chow and Joe Zakayevich and Nate Busnitz. They are helping him get this out. And let's be honest, folks, he's going to be 84 in June. The chance of the entire Old Testament commentary series being completed before he leaves this earth is pretty slim. But that's his current project. And so they're working on that. Now, they have all the study Bible study notes. John has, you know, made extensive comment. He has referred to many of these Old Testament books in his New Testament preaching. There is a wealth of material for them to gather together so that even posthumous editions of the MacArthur Old Testament commentary will reflect John's scholarship and positions. So there has been a need for a solid dispensational premillennial Old Testament commentary for a long time. And so I am excited that this is coming out. Like I said, the series is going to be hardback. This was one they got to give us. I'm looking forward to digging into it extensively. But it was a great message that Friday night, and I'm really looking forward to. You can see I've already got a bookmark in there. I've started. I'm working my way through it. But he writes on the back cover, No eschatology is complete or true which does not embrace the prophecy of Zechariah, written to comfort Israel after the remnant's return from Babylon. Zechariah's message assured the Israelites that the Lord had not abandoned his people. Filled with visions, prophecies, signs, and vivid imagery, this revelation traces the flow of history to its climax when Christ will reign over the earth from his throne in Jerusalem. Zechariah predicted the coming of Alexander the Great, the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, the tyranny of the Antichrist, the Battle of Armageddon, and the millennial reign of Christ. Emphatically, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the primary figure in Zechariah's revelation. Zechariah predicted Christ's entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, his betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, and his sacrificial death. Zechariah also revealed Christ's future return to the Mount of Olives and the establishment of his kingdom over the earth. At that time, Israel will turn to God, and the Lord will say, "They are my people," and Israel will respond, "Yahweh is my God," Zechariah 13:9. "And so all Israel will be saved," Romans 11:26. History will then reach its climactic point, and Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day, Yahweh will be the only one, and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. So, fabulous message on Friday night, and I'm really looking forward to digging into the commentary. I've listened to John's messages on Zechariah, and so I'm very much looking forward to reading the commentary. And so, that was Shepherd's Conference. Drove home, left after church. I went to church. I didn't go to Grace Community Church on Sunday. I went to Santa Clarita Baptist Church, where my friend David Caldwell is the pastor, to spend a few more minutes with him and with some elders from his church and people in his church that have become friends over the years. The fact that it saves me a good half hour of LA traffic getting out of town after church is just incidental. No, it was very good to visit with the Caldwells and visit with the people at their church. And just, you know, much as I would have liked to have been at Grace as well, it's just, I have, it's always fun to hear David preach. And so Santa Clarita Baptist Church, search for that in your podcast app, because his sermons are posted on the podcast app. Makes it easy to get to. They are well worth listening to. Go back, you know, you have to back up a ways. Go back and start with Mark chapter 1, verse 1, because his series on Mark has been excellent. And so I would encourage you to do that. So that's my report from Shepherd's Conference. I hope that was beneficial to you. I said, if you are a pastor or if you're a church member with a little bit of affluent means, send your pastor. Send your pastor next year. If he's never gone to anything like this, you know, maybe talk to the church elders, have the church pay for it. If the church can't pay for it, you know, walk around and get contributions, but send your pastor. It will benefit you and it will benefit the church. The folks at Parkside used to send me, and their comment was, "I preach better when I get back." So that was their excuse for sending me, because I was going to preach better when I got back. So Shepherd's Conference is always a special time of year, and I was glad to be there again this year. That's something I always look forward to. And incidentally, I'm going to G3 in September. So this will be my first ever G3. So I'm looking forward to that as well. And yeah, it's a lot of the same people. That's true. So I will be in Atlanta in September for the G3. The conference is the sovereignty of God is the topic for the conference. And so Virgil, you hear that? I'm plugging your conference. So, you know, maybe, you know, comp me a hotel room or something. Save me a little money. All right, let's state our faith together by reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, we'll be back tomorrow for Theology Thursday. It's good to be back with you. As I said, I missed our time together, and so very good to be back with you. Finish up the week with the Theology Thursday tomorrow, Federalist Friday on Friday, and then the full slate of podcasts next week. So it's good to be back. Thanks for being with us. Remember, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.